I hear the chains falling. Thank you, ensemble, for reminding us of the power available to us through our Lord Jesus Christ and through our God of liberation. Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every once in a while, friends, I stumble upon clips from real life from the internet that capture for me images of God's abundant love. There is this little viral video of a young girl I'm going to share with you in just a second, cradling with sweet tenderness not three cute little dolls, but rather three fat, slimy toads. Roll the tape, Chris, and I want you who are watching to squirm in your seats, all right? How does that look, folks? How many of you, if you saw a fat toad, big old fat toad like that, would pick it up and cradle it like it's a little baby? How many of you are squirming in your seats right now? Okay, that's enough, Chris. I don't want people to close the feed. The little girl's face and her care and love show everything for those little toads. They resonated with me. Don't we all deserve to be cradled like that in our life? Don't we all deserve someone to love us like that little girl loved those big, fat, ugly toads? You know, there's something in that image that makes me think that's kind of what a pastor does week in and week out. God gives us these beautiful, slimy, beautiful, wonderful people to cradle and love. That's why I want us to think about this word treasure today. And our image for this Lent series is these broken shards of beach glass. Sometimes you find washed up on the shore what can seem like broken fragments, and yet somehow in the sun on the seashore glint and gleam with beauty. In the eyes of God, in the eyes of this world, sometimes we are seen like these fragments as imperfect and broken, but in the eyes of God, everyone is a treasure to be cared for and loved. That's why I want us to think about this word treasure today. I know that can be hard to believe in our lives. We've all experienced rejection. We've all been unable to measure up to standards of beauty or success, and we have all made mistakes. As this pandemic has raged, one of the ugly realities revealed is that most Americans have what we call or what are called comorbidities, health conditions which have made us especially susceptible to COVID-19. And maybe that is one reason why we have over 450,000 neighbors who have died due to this pandemic in this country. But we have also witnessed a comorbidity called selfishness. While some did the right thing or risked their lives to care for a patient struggling to breathe, others claim that this pandemic was no big deal or believe we should just go ahead and let people suffer and die so that the economy could stay strong. Sacrifice the weak to save the strong. To those who were doing everything they could to stay inside and keep healthy, hearing neighbors and leaders say such things surely made you feel like your lives are worthless. For black and brown neighbors who continue to demand justice, from transformed immigration systems to equal investments of healthcare to criminal justice system that also seems to value lives differently, too often our society as a whole has delivered a similar kind of message. Some lives are treasure, and some lives are trash. How many people long to be touched, cradled and affirmed for who they are, regardless of their comorbidities, the color of their skin, their social status, their gender identity, or even their ability. In our passage today, Jesus is pressed on all sides as he comes down the mountain from people like us who are hungry for healing. Among this crowd is one who is called a leper. The word for leprosy in this passage does not simply mean what we think of now as leprosy, the disease of leprosy, but could have been any number of skin afflictions or diseases, many of which we may consider routine or normal today, or very, very treatable. In the ancient world, it's possible that even a mild reaction on your skin could have you shunned by your family and community, fearful that you might be contagious. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46 gives a prescription among the ancient Israelites people for how to treat someone with leprosy. The person who has the leprous disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head be disheveled. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Wow. Alone, outside, torn clothes, disheveled, unclean. These are the words for someone to be pushed away from society. But this leper approaches Jesus with confidence. Somehow the leper has heard Jesus' preaching and seen his miraculous care for the hungry, hurting crowds. He believed Jesus can change his situation. Note how he doesn't say to Jesus, hey, if you have time in your busy schedule, and if it's something that you could possibly do, could you make me clean? Rather, he says directly, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." What faith. This leper hasn't even seen yet what Jesus will do later in his life or on the cross or in the tomb. But he already believes that Jesus with a touch, can restore his life. Jesus responds, no doubt enamored by the leper's confidence, where others in the crowd likely shy away, afraid to be in contact with this sick man. Jesus steps forward and says, "I do choose," and he touches the leper, perhaps even cradling him like that little girl cradled those big fat toads. He risked infection. He risked being excluded in the eyes of the community to heal this man, to break his chains. What happens to this leper? His skin affliction, whether it was acne or eczema or leprosy, is gone. It fades away. Jesus orders him to do what the law of Moses says, go and present himself to the temple, to the priest. This accomplishes two things. One, if someone had been healed from leprosy, it was a priest's duty to verify, to see the person and confirm that they were no longer ill. But the second thing is it does. For years and years, no doubt, this man, because of his affliction, was unable to go and be with God, unable to worship, unable to be included in the community. By rushing to the temple, the healing makes clear that this leper wasn't simply free of sickness. He was whole. He could now be back with his family, with those who love him. He could now worship freely. What a gift. Church healing stories are always challenging. Some of us have experienced moments in our lives when we felt God's powerful touch and were transformed. Some of us have also prayed for friends and family and coworkers, but the person remained sick or even died. We human beings are born in fragile, limited bodies. Sometimes our bodies grow weary and weaken for no fault of our own. Some of us have different abilities that we were born with. Walter Wilson, in his book, Healing in the Gospel of Matthew, suggests that Humans all exist along a continuum of ability and disability, and that this is normal. This is the reality of our bodies and the circumstances of life and a broken creation. Jesus' healing sometimes changes those circumstances and offers strength to our bodies. But more often, Wilson writes, the bodies of those healed are marked by the power of the divine to create new life out of hopelessness. Some considered leprosy in the ancient world at least a living death, unable to be touched by those you loved, unable to be integrated into society, unable to work and produce and share of the fruit of the land. In Jesus' healing, that hopeless situation turned to new life with a touch. And in so many of our lives, with the power of Jesus, even though we live and adapt to bodies that are fragile, bodies that sometimes have disabilities and challenges. In Jesus, we find hope, ways to live and thrive and flourish, even when we cannot do all the things that we wish we could. In Jesus' healing, hopelessness turns to life. What if in this Lent season we opened our bodies, our minds, and our hearts to this touch of new life? What if we could take the fractured pieces of our lives and let God's ocean of grace shape and transform us until somehow, though still marked by suffering and sickness and disability, our lives hint at the incredible whole we find in our Creator? What boundaries are we called to expand in our church? Who in the crowds of our day long to be touched by our Lord? Can we see them? Can we hear them? Will we touch them too? I want to challenge you to think of someone in your life or even in your church who you haven't seen lately, or someone you may be concerned has felt pushed to the edge, intentionally or unintentionally. Maybe this is the week for you to reach out and touch through a phone call or a text message or a video chat. Remind them that they are treasured by you and by God. What if we contribute to the wholeness of the world and our fractured bodies by restoring relationship and community? In the Black Church documentary this week, we were reintroduced to the Moral Monday movement led by Reverend Dr. William Barber, a Disciples of Christ pastor who organized groups of Christians and activists to march to the state capitol in North Carolina to demand health care, voting rights, and racial justice. And that movement has become the Poor People's Campaign all across North America. Reverend Barber says in the film, there is something wrong about a religion that has nothing to say about oppression. And he recounts how during those protests, crossing the boundaries to lift up those who were poor and struggling, facing arrest for civil disobedience, some of the young people who had long ago left the church told him how they found God again in that struggle for dignity and healing and wholeness for all who suffer and all who are pushed to the margins of our laws and our government and our society. His ministry in that film was a reminder that no one is discarded treasure in the eyes of God. Jesus touched the leper when no one else would. That little girl in that viral video cradled those toads, surely to the horror of her parents and family. What might happen if we did the same? As a church, as a small part of God's family. Who is God calling us to reach out and touch in this time? Maybe even it starts with us, knowing that we are God's precious treasure, no matter how fragmented and broken and hurting. Thanks be to God.